The Old Testament reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 26, 8 through 15. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and the city shall be desolate without inhabitant?'" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves a sentence of death because he has prophesied against his city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in the truth the Lord has sent me to speak all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 3, 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us, for many of whom I have told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is in their belly, and their glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to make be like the glorious body, by the power that enables him to subject all these things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some of the Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Nearly 300 or so years before Christ was born, Alexander the Great stood in what Macedonia and or Greece, and he looked out there, young man, early 20s. He set off with his army to invade the mighty Persian army. In a series of battles, he conquered the entire Persian Empire. He got up to one of the rivers in India, it is said, and began to weep. He said, how was it put? And he began to weep because he realized that there were no more worlds to conquer. What the world got out of Alexander creating this massive empire was language, philosophy, the ancient classics of the Greeks. So what was brought to the world. But Alexander came to conquer, to rule. He died at age 33. Jesus, in our gospel lesson, interesting enough, roughly 33 years old, he begins an unstoppable march from the northern part of Israel. We looked at that last week with the Mount of Transfiguration. And he is going to Jerusalem in the south. That sets the stage for today's gospel lesson. Whereas Alexander the Great conquered to control, Jesus is going to die, conquer Satan, so that we may have life. Our text begins with, in that very hour. Well, what had happened just before that, to set the stage for Jesus' talk here? He'd been calling again and again in Jerusalem for repentance. And then he saw the fig tree. Beautiful analogy. He used this fig tree. If it doesn't bear fruit after 3 years, the master comes and says, I will give you one more year. If you bear fruit, I will spare you. If you don't, I will cut you down and throw you into the fire. In other words, time's short. Time is very short. We do get few chances in life. Previous to this, Jesus had healed a woman who had some sort, I know doctors and nurses can probably tell what it is, but her spine was badly curved, really to the point where she couldn't work. And Jesus came and healed her on the Sabbath. Oh no, how dare you do anything on the Sabbath like healing? So Jesus calls out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and said, well, don't you loosen your donkey to take them the water or food? He loosened her back to make her whole. Excuse me. Again and again, Jesus, once he gets near Jerusalem, is preaching, repent, repent. The end is coming. He's explaining what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is not just heaven, but how we live it out here in an imperfect kingdom of God. Ultimately, we'll be in the kingdom of God in heaven, and few are heeding his message. So the Pharisees, they pull a little trick one. How many of you thought the Pharisees were being nice guys when I read that gospel lesson? Get out of here, Jesus, because Herod's coming. Doesn't that sound like good old helping out? No, they wanted Jesus out of Jerusalem. This is a good way to do it. All right? They didn't want Jesus that close because he knew their imperfections. Did you ever wonder when Jesus was confronted with a woman caught in adultery and he knelt down in the sand and started writing? You ever wonder what that was? We don't know. But it was enough to make the Pharisees and church leaders turn around and leave. It always made me wonder if he didn't write, you know, Rabbi Jacob, or just listed the sins. Do you remember when? And just start listing. They don't want him around anymore if he knows that. Imagine, I don't want to put myself in that place, but imagine if Christ would start writing out your sins in sand. Gotta make you a bit uncomfortable. But see, he won't do that because he's forgiven. And notice Jesus' reaction to the Pharisees. He knows, no, they're not trying to help me. They just want me out of Dodge. So I'm not going to point out their sin. So he makes jokes about Herod. You know, tell that fox. See, again, this is a place where I really dislike Walt Disney. How do they always portray foxes in Walt Disney movies? They're cute and fuzzy. Yeah, just want to pick them up and hug them. They just run. They got little legs. Oh, how sweet. Anybody who's been around fox knows they're sneaking, cunning, and a predator. You're not going to get a fur boy you want to pet. Yes, I practiced that voice. And Jesus insults Herod and goes, he's kind of like that disgusting little predator over there. Imagine just insulting the king who actually had the power to kill anybody. And Jesus is talking about he's got a date with death. Nobody took his life. He gave it up. He allowed them to nail him to the cross. He died on the cross because he chose to do it. Scripture makes that very clear. He chose to do this. And the cross was not God's plan B. Meaning, he makes the world and looks down at Adam and says, pretty good. Put that fruit down. Oh man, look what they did to my creation. All right, plan B, guys. Cross. What do you say? Nope. From before the foundation of the world, he already knew what the world was going to do and what it was going to take to save it. And when you put it this way, Christ had the cross in his head the entire time from the creation of the world to here now on the last trip to Jerusalem. That is a focus. One target, that's what he's going for. He does say, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Human nature is to run from danger, right? This is what I love about firefighters. They see a fire, what do? Well, what do? I'm out of here. They go running in. All right, soldiers, same thing. I got to tell you the story I read about U.S. soldiers. A French helicopter, if I got the story right, a French helicopter was reported down. And the French said, well, that's bad territory. We can't risk it. American soldiers were grabbing their weapons and equipment, getting on helicopters. When everything said, run from this fight, our guys go in. French were amazed. They said, only Americans run towards a gunfire. The rest of us take cover. But human nature is to run from danger. John Wayne, the great St. John, once said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Because we're a Christian, Satan puts a target on our back. He will use all the tactics of Frank being one of them. But if we belong to Jesus, we don't have to worry about the little foxes that are trying to get us. We're told to carry the cross. We're going to be dead to sin and telling Satan, you have no control over me. So what are you afraid of today? Death? Sickness? Serious illness? Doctor's visit you really don't want to go to? Yeah. Those things are in the world right now. I'm not going to lie, they are. And they always will be. But we always hold on to the absolute fact that nothing can remove the joy and promise of eternal life. All right, we're going to do something we have never done before in here. I'm going to say one line, and you're all going to repeat the second line, okay? All right. Life is not fair, is my part. And you respond, but God is good all the time. Okay? Life is not fair. You respond with, but God is good all the time. Life is not fair.
God is good all the time.
All right. Now, everybody look to their neighbor to their right. And if you're on the far right, just look and smile. And I will say, life is not fair. All right, turn around, look the other way. Well, wow, I really like the stretches of the neck. Cool beans. Okay, life is not fair.
God is good all the time.
Wow, so nice to have so many people in church. Hear that sound. Man, there are so many pictures to describe Jesus. He's pictured as a rock, a door, a shepherd, a light. But how about a mother hen? You ever think of Jesus as a mother hen? Personally, I don't like hens, but that's beside the point. He comes out halfway down the Mount of Olives, and there's a chapel built there called the Chapel of the Tear. Because it's believed this is the point where Jesus stopped and spoke the following words about a hen and her chicks. And there he cried. Mother hens, I have never raised chickens, so this is just what I've been told. So if I'm wrong, blame John. All right, a mother hen keeps clucking, I think that's what they do, and they have a distinctive sound that their chicks know. So she can be out there clucking, and her chicks will know to come running or not. Well, Jesus is constantly calling us. Another place he says, you know, the sheep will know the shepherd's voice. Here again, the chicks should know the sound of the mother hen. Something else about hens. They gather their chickens together and they feed them first before the mother itself eats. God is constantly calling us. Jesus is constantly calling us. And he tells us to feed on his word and the sacrament. And the hen protects her chicks. When a chicken hawk, I think of the little one from Looney Tunes. Anyway, they spot a chicken hawk. She gathers her chicks together, gets them underneath her wings, and that chicken is too big for that chicken hawk to pick off. And a lot of times they have a stare-down contest, but eventually the chicken hawk said, I'm not going to win, I'm out of here. Something else, story I heard about mother hens and their chickens. There's a chicken coop that started to burn, and the family tried to put it out before too much damage was done, and then they're kind of going through the wreckage, and they find a mother hen, pretty sharp. So they pull it out. Underneath her were her chicks. She could have gotten out of it, but she died to protect them. Think about that with Christ. He could have avoided the cross. I mean, honestly, who wants to get hung on that? He could have escaped and says, no, I'm not doing this. But he did it to protect his people. One of the saddest words in this text is when he said, but you would not listen. Isn't it amazing? Christ died for every person in this world. And some just choose eternal separation. But if you were willing. I mean, how many people in this world don't know Christ, don't obey him, don't receive him? Final story. Albert Noble, Swedish chemist back in the 1800s, developed dynamite. Oh, actually, I could go on to how that absolutely changed American expansion, but I don't think y'all want to be here for an hour, because once I get yapping about history, I can talk more than my father. All right, he's the one who developed dynamite. Remember that old joke, you get up in the morning, as long as you don't read your own obituary, you're good? Well, he got up one morning and his obituary was in it. And let's see. What the obituary said is, Albert Noble, the inventor of dynamite, died yesterday. He devised a way for more people than ever before to be killed in war, and he died a rich man. Actually, his brother had died. The newspaper just got it wrong. I know it's hard to believe they ever did anything wrong. Albert Noble, the man who developed dynamite, incredible uses for construction and peace, but it also had a nasty side to it. So what he decided to do is he gave a large sum of money to promote peace. When you hear the name Noble, what do you think of today connected to peace? Nobel Peace Prize was set up by a man who was credited for creating or inventing dynamite. Noble later wrote, every man ought to have the chance to correct his obituary in midstream and write a new one. So if you had to write yours today, I know that sounds creepy, but if you had to write your own obituary today, what would it say about you? Just your work? What you've done? Would it talk about your faith? Would other people look at that and say, yep, that's exactly how you were? Something interesting to think about. So may the peace of God, which is above all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.